Our first reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew 7, 1 through 12. If you want time to go ahead and find that. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be measure you get. Why do you seek the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do for you. For this is the law and the prophets.
People of God, let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you would open our ears and our hearts. Speak to us and show us how it is that you have called us to live and who it is you have called us to be as your people in this world. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning, our second text is from James, and we are going to read all of chapter 4. If I had my way, there would be one more week between now and Lent, and we would read this in two sections, but we don't have that many weeks, and so to get through James before Lent, we're going to do it this way. So, chapter 4, James said, "Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the scripture says God yearns jealously for the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives all the more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into dejection. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. Whoever speaks evil against another or judges another speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. So who then are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live to do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it commits sin. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It has been quite a week, hasn't it? The Super Bowl halftime show was either scandalous or in shocking or a celebration of Latina culture and women's empowerment. Take your pick. The State of the Union was inspiring or appalling. Justice was made a mockery at the impeachment trial, either because it happened at all or because of the outcome. The images just keep replaying, don't they? A ripped speech, a refusal to shake a hand, a man speaking of his faith and making a decision and then villainized. And that was just the first half of the week. There's been more since, hasn't there? If you're like me, all of this leaves you just shaking your head and wanting to turn it all off and stick your head in the sand. All of this chaos and polarization and hatred is just what we hear and see. It's just the stuff that's out there that gets infused into our world. It isn't the day-to-day life that we're living, is it? And there's more that adds to the anxiety that we hear and see. Economics, terrorism, climate change, immigration, coronavirus, refugees. We can keep going, can't we? It seems that conflict and disagreement and judging of others and polarization is just the way it is, doesn't it? I had a friend and colleague comment this week that it is exhausting these days just to keep showing up. Except that the bottom line is, people of God, we are called by God to keep showing up. What's even harder is that the headlines don't even begin to cover what's going on in our own lives, do they? Workplace stress, family struggles, challenges in our own personal lives on top of the layer of the chaos that is out there. In addition to the outside noises, there's the day-to-day challenges that we all have. There are those who are mourning loved ones, struggling to deal with medical challenges, whether it's their own or family, aging parents, raising children, grandchildren, and then we can just keep adding to that list too, can't we? Is it any wonder that we are tired, anxious, or struggling? Is it any wonder, people of God, that the church struggles with discord, division, and challenge, not just outside the church, but inside? I'm not going to pretend that I have answers. I'm sure that it would be nice if I did. But the truth be told, I had a minor tantrum this week when I read the text. Because if I'm really honest, I don't want to have to keep showing up as a less anxious presence than everybody else. I don't want to always be a person who works to think before I speak. I struggle with judging others and making assumptions about people that I meet. I want the freedom to write off people that I disagree with. I want to be able to walk away, slam doors, stomp my feet, condemn other people who don't agree with me. Because that would be easier, wouldn't it? In the short term, it is easier. It is much easier to just cut off and walk away. Because the way of the world is always going to be easier. The way of the world allows us to pretend that we don't have a role to play in all of this mess. The way of the world allows us to offload it and say that the problems are all out there, that it's those people, it's them, not me, that has a responsibility in all of this. It allows us to deflect and to say, if they would stop doing blah, 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 then things would be better. It's someone else's fault, not mine. But if Jesus is your Savior, and you seek to follow God's will, if you proclaim yourself and understand that you are a child of God, then you are commanded. You are invited, and you are given tools to live differently than the way of this world. We are to submit ourselves to God. James says, resist the devil. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Lament. Mourn and weep that we are double-minded. Humble yourselves, and then and only then will God lift you up. Ask and you receive. Seek and you find. Knock and the door is open in everything. In everything. Do to others as you would have them do to you. But that's so hard, isn't it? So today I want to spend some time not on all of these issues. Instead, I want to wonder, what would it look like to try and do things differently? What would it look like to show up and stand in a different spot in all of this? What would it look like to face into some of the anxiety that is just white noise in our lives? So where do we want to be as disciples of Jesus? I think we're going to have to start by confronting the reality of anxiety in our lives. Anxiety makes you stupid. It does. I'm not saying that people who are anxious are stupid, because we're all anxious sometimes. What I'm saying is that when anxiety goes up, your ability to think clearly and rationally goes down. This is not an opinion. This is a biological fact. They've done research on this. It's just true. When we get anxious, our brains tell us that we are in danger. When we are in danger, we react in predictable ways. We were taught in school as children that we fight or flight, right? There's two other options that we do, by the way. We fight, flight, freeze, and we flock together and create defensive perimeters that keep out some people and allow others in. We fight, we flight, we freeze, and we flock. When we are reacting, we're not thinking. If the person in front of you driving the car slams on their brakes, you don't have to think through, now what do I do next? You just react. And thanks be to God, we have that ability. Our brains were designed to keep us safe. And when we are anxious, our brains do what they were programmed to do. And that makes us unable to think critically and clearly. Therefore, we become stupid. We become irrational. We become reactive. And by the way, if you didn't know this, anxiety is contagious. You ever been in a room where one person walks in this highly anxious state and all of a sudden the whole room is in an uproar? Ever been in a meeting where one person starts getting loud and angry, and all of a sudden everybody else in the room is loud and angry? Because anxiety is contagious. When you get anxious, personally, you react in a very predictable pattern. And the people who know you best could tell you exactly how you're going to react before you even react. We've all had the knowledge of how somebody's going to take something, haven't we? Oh, well, be careful how you say that, because you know he's just going to get upset. We react to anxiety in predictable ways. Some of us conflict. We get more and more amped up, and we get more and more defensive. Some people start to withdraw and disappear and shrink to the point where they're almost not even in the room anymore. Some people want to start fixing everybody else. That's called overfunctioning. And some people automatically look for somebody who's responsible to blame. These are four ways that we react with anxiety, and we all do them all. But you have a default. You have a preferred way of reacting. Do you know what it is? What do you do when you're anxious? Pray. Maybe, if you can get that access to that part of your brain. But if you're reacting, you may not even be able to do that. You run. You defend. You do all of these things because we react in predictable ways. When we can calm ourselves down, we can begin to engage our thinking processes. We go to things like prayer to calm ourselves. But in the moment, when we are really anxious and amped up, we have defensive ways of showing up. Some of you get defensive. Some of you start to disappear and shut down. Some of you fix things, and some of you blame. That's just how we react as human beings. And we've all been in relationships with people, and we know what they do when they do what they do. These are predictable reactions. They're not bad. They're intended to keep us safe. Except that when we can't calm ourselves down enough to think, we live our lives then in these reactive states, operating not out of our best selves and being the people that we want to be, the people we know God called us to be, but these anxious people who do and say things without thinking. So what do we do with that reactivity? I think what we do is we start by being aware that we're doing it. Can you notice in yourself when your anxiety starts to rise? Does your heart go faster? Does your brain start spinning? Does your gut tighten? We all have biological reactions to anxiety that if we begin to pay attention, we can notice that they're happening even before our brain tells us that we're anxious. You can find different ways to calm yourself down. Sometimes it's as simple as, I need to pray about this a minute. Sometimes we have to ask for a break when things get really intense. Not just storm out of the room, but say, I need a moment to calm down. I will be back in 5 or 10 minutes. Walking away is a valid way of calming ourselves. Breathing. Have you ever noticed that the more anxious you get, the less you breathe? It's true. Pay attention sometime. In the midst of your anxiety, take a deep breath. Calm yourself down. It sounds silly when we have to spell it out sometimes. But the reality is that we live in a society that is highly anxious almost all the time. And we, as God's people, need to learn ways to slow ourselves down. Re-engage our ability to think clearly so that we can choose how we want to show up in this world. If nothing else, what I have learned is that when I get really anxious, if I can just think of one question to ask the other person, that buys me time to calm myself down. Because if you can engage your brain just enough to think of a question, then you've already begun to re-engage that thinking part of your brain. And then you can get access to the person that God has called you and created you to be. The reality is that we live in a world that is highly anxious. We are reactive all of the time. And God calls us to be people who show up differently in this world. We don't get to dig our heads into the sand, turn it all off, and pretend that it's not happening around us. Instead, as Christ's disciples, we are called to engage this world, to be the people that Jesus has invited us to be. And that is much harder work than just reacting to the things around us. When you and I enter into conversations that make us anxious, When we enter into conversations, when we know before we go in it's going to be a really hard conversation to have, or when it takes a sudden turn and somebody voices an opinion that makes us really uncomfortable, or that we know we deeply disagree with, what do we do? Often, our anxiety goes up so high that we stop listening to the other person. We don't hear what they're saying. Rather, what we're trying to do is think of the next smart thing we're going to say. And so what we end up doing is we end up talking across each other. You say something to me, I don't really hear what you're saying because I'm busy formulating my argument in my head, and I say something back to you, and we end up with these conflicted arguments rather than a dialogue or a conversation. Anybody have one of those conversations this week? Yeah. When we slow ourselves down, when we actually are willing to listen to the other person before we start to engage, it takes a lot more energy and a lot more work, but it is a rarity in our society to listen and then respond, because we all react in those predictable ways when we feel threatened. We all react in predictable ways when somebody says something that makes us anxious. All of a sudden, we're not thinking, we're just saying stuff out of our mouths. And then later on, when we calm down, we go, why did I say that? What was I thinking? Or we say, well, they're just stupid anyway. What? Forget it. I'm done with them. We do all of those things out of our anxiety. I think that Jesus' vision for how we're going to be in this world is different than how we show up on a regular basis. I think that part of what happens in our world is when we react out of anxiety, we're not telling people what we really deeply hold to be true. We're just reacting. So I have one more thing I want to ask you to wonder about. And I'm going to need my roving mic to be turned on, and I'm going to make Rick Vogel come up here. Because it was Rick's idea, well, suggestion, it wasn't your idea. It was Rick's suggestion we walk our way through James. So come on up here. And I want to show you, I'm going to give you a visual. Instead of engaging people when they make us anxious, when we are talking about something that we know they disagree with us on, rather than talking at each other and across each other, we're not asked to give up what we believe. And we're not asked to demand that they see things our way. So I want to invite you to think of something that you believe really strongly, that no matter what argument somebody else makes, you are not going to give it up. Doesn't matter what, but hold it tightly in your hand. Hold it tightly in your hand. Do you see that this is how we engage regularly with each other? This is how we engage. I believe what I believe, and no matter what you say, I'm not going to change my mind. And you believe what you believe, and no matter what you say, I'm not going to change. And so we go back and forth, and we don't actually hear each other. But what we're invited to do by Jesus is to hold on to this and still do this. Jesus invites us to reach across and look each other in the eye. And I don't have to give up what I'm holding on to. Rick doesn't have to give up what he believes. But we can still talk to each other. And then if you're really brave, you could open your hand and show the person what it is that you believe. You don't have to give it up, but you can hold on to it. What would happen if we did conversations that way? What would happen if we stopped expecting, you can go back and sit. What would happen if we stopped expecting that somebody's going to try and take our stuff or our beliefs from us? And what if we stopped assuming that they had to believe everything we believe in order to be people of God in the same space? The reality is that anxiety is what James is talking about. Anxiousness is a part of what we do. We worry things out of proportion. We get anxious, we get reactive, and we do not think. And when we don't think, we say things that we regularly do not want
to be said. We do things without thinking. And so what if instead we learn to calm ourselves down enough to hold close what we really do believe, and still we're able to look someone else in the eye and allow them to believe what they believe? Because I believe that that might just be what Jesus taught us to do. Let's pray. Gracious God, in this anxious world, it is hard to be your people. We want to be your people, but it is very difficult. And so calm us, invite us, give us the tools that we need to calm ourselves enough to hear that still small voice of yours speaking to us in the midst of the chaos. Help us to calm ourselves enough to listen and to speak, not out of our reactivity, but out of our true selves. In your name we pray. Amen.